What's up, guys? Bob Busker here at Think Computers. We are on episode 10 of our weekly tech podcast here. We talk about everything tech, go over all the reviews we did over the previous week, and just have fun geeking out. I'm here, as always, with Derek. How is your morning going today?
Not bad, Bob. Nice sunny Michigan morning.
That's actually sunny there?
It's absolutely sunny. It's probably freezing outside, but I'm just going to pretend it's like 80 and I don't live in Michigan.
Are you excited we made it to episode 10?
Dude, I'm stoked.
We should have, like, celebrated somehow. I don't know how, but we should have.
Yeah, we'll have to work on that for, like, the next milestone.
Yeah, for, like, episode 20, we need... Or, like, 25. I say 25. We should do something. We should
we'll
do something crazy.
Out.
Yeah. All right.
But
let's just jump in here. As always, we're going to go over the reviews we did this week. We actually had three reviews this week. Some pretty cool products. The first one is the Kingston HyperX Savage 240 gig solid state drive. So last week we took a look at the HyperX Predator, which was their super high end PCI Express solid state drive. This is their highest end SATA based solid state drive. So it's 2.5 inch form factor. It's based on the same Phison S10 that we've seen on the past three drives, I believe, that we've reviewed. So that seems like a pretty good platform that a lot of people are using. Good read and writes across the board. Even with the lower capacity, as far as 240 gig, you're not going to have a slowdown either. Good drive all around. It looks really nice too. The HyperX Savage, they have HyperX Savage memory as well, and it's red. So the SSD is red, so it kind of matches that. This is pretty cool. I like the drive.
Yeah, it's good when they coordinate stuff.
And they actually sent me the SSD upgrade kit, which is like this full upgrade kit. It comes not only with a 9mm to 7.5mm adapter. You typically get that with most SSDs. You have a 3.5 inch adapter that goes in your case. You actually have a USB 3.0 enclosure. You have like a screwdriver kit, all this other. You have a bunch of stuff that comes with the upgrade kit. It's actually pretty cool. And
yeah, that's sweet.
Kingston is still one of the only companies that's offering, and like they'll have just their bare drive that you would typically get, but they also have the upgrade kit. And Kingston's one of the only companies that still offers like this full upgrade kit. If this is like your first ever SSD and you know you're going to be installing it in an older system where you may not have a 2.5 inch spot, things like that, they still offer this. That's pretty cool. But a really great drive, one that I would definitely recommend if you're going the SATA route. Again, it looks great too. It's one of those SSDs that if you had a case window and you had like say like an NZXT case where you can actually display your SSDs, this will be one that you definitely want to display.
Yeah.
I really liked it. Definitely a good drive. I need to get a bunch of these. Yeah, they look really great. And they're just like I said, the Phison S10 setup that a lot of companies are using has worked really great. Great controller. It is a quad core controller. It works really great.
It's good to see that it's nice and stable and that lots of companies are going to be able to use it.
Yeah, so that's the big thing. So typically, you know, we see the big manufacturers use their own. You know, OCZ has their Barefoot controller. Samsung has their own controller. And who else has their own controller? I can't think. A couple other companies. I can't think of it right now because it's early in the morning. But you see those and then you see everybody else kind of use something else. So when the SSDs first came out, we saw all the SandForce-based drives. And you know, so it seems like this time around, a lot of companies are going with the Phison S10. Works great. Can't complain about it. Every drive that we reviewed with that controller has been good as well. Just a little bit difference in a lot of the companies will tweak the firmware or do something different or give you a value-added package to make their product a little bit better.
Right.
So yeah, but the HyperX Savage is great across the board. I can't really say much bad about it.
And the price isn't bad either.
Yeah, the price isn't bad. Kingston's been really aggressive on their pricing all across the board when it comes to their SSDs. So definitely a company to look at if you're looking to get an SSD. So we'll move on from that review. And I actually took a look at a cool mouse, which I'm actually still using right now. It is the Asus ROG Gladius gaming mouse, and ROG stands for Republic of Gamers, and you might be familiar with the Republic of Gamers. Asus has a whole line of Republic of Gamers products. It started with video cards and motherboards, and they've kind of branched out, and now they have gaming accessories, they have full gaming systems, they have a lot of really cool stuff, and I've said this so many times over the years. You see these companies who are known, you know, Asus is the number one motherboard manufacturer, so that's what we know them for. And we see a lot of companies like this, they want to get into esports, or they want to get into something else, and they kind of just OEM a product, right? They kind of just put out something that's kind of crappy, that's not really theirs, and they don't really do anything.
Yeah, it already
exists
on the market. They just slap their brand on it.
Yes.
Call it good.
So with this mouse, that's totally not the case. This mouse is extremely cool. It may not look, it's a pretty simple mouse. I think it's, let me see, 1, 2, 3, like 5 or 6 buttons on it. It's not a, you know, I would say it's great for FPS.
Kind of a standard FPS.
Yeah,
mouse.
Kind of a standard FPS mouse, but it has some really cool things. And it's designed for gamers. Like, they've really taken a lot of time to really design the mouse, that it, the mouse actually works in any style. So if you have like a claw style or a fingertip style, it kind of works with every type of mouse or every type of style that you play.
Does that mean that it kind of gives in on some of the other styles? You know, like
it's more for though. After using it, it blends most to like a claw style.
Okay.
That's kind of how I've been using it. But it works on all styles, and they've done some pretty cool things. Like, the left and right mouse buttons are actually not the same button. So on a lot of mice, you see the left and right mouse buttons are basically the same. They're just a mirror image of each other. These are actually different. One is actually shorter than the other one. They both jet out in opposite directions, so you have your fingers actually fit correctly on them.
Nice.
You know, kind of molds to your hand. They actually have a cool thing too, is that, okay, so the mouse has Omron switches inside, which is pretty typical for gaming mice. The Omron is kind of like the Cherry MX of gaming mice. But what they do is you can actually open the mouse up and switch the switches out yourself. They call this the ROG socket, and it allows you to, say, if your switches break, you can just go ahead and get new switches. You don't have to go ahead and buy a brand new mouse. So that obviously extends the life of the mouse, and they actually include two different ones, and they give you a different click resistance, actually. So it's kind of like, again, it's kind of like Cherry MX, where, you know, you can switch out your key switches if you wanted to. But it's it's like that for a mouse. It's pretty cool. And again, it adds that, you know, that you already have an extra set. So if these happen to die, which the Omron switches are rated for 20 million clicks anyways, but it just extends the life of the mouse. So you don't have to go out and buy a new mouse. And it comes with a full package too. So one thing I really liked is that it comes with a carrying case. It comes with the mouse feet on the bottom. So if you've used the same mouse for a long time, you know that the mouse feet actually wear out. It's just something that happens. So
that's kind of what ends the life of your mouse usually.
Yeah, so they actually include 4 extra ones of those. So that's a full set that you get with that. It actually comes with 2. The cables actually, it comes off. The cable comes off the mouse. So,
yeah, I thought that was really neat.
Yeah, and you actually get 2 different cables. You get the typical rubber one, and then you get the braided one.
Nice. So, are they different lengths?
Yeah, the braided one's actually longer.
Okay, so this is like... So the little rubber one is more for like a laptop, maybe?
Yeah, a laptop, something like that. And then the braided one's longer. And of course, the braided one will, we assume, would last longer. And it comes with a carrying case too, and some ROG stickers. And of course, you get those 2 extra switches. It's kind of like a full package. You know, a lot of times you'll get a mouse and it's just a mouse and that's it.
It's disappointing when you unbox mice sometimes, because you're like, all right, what else is going to be in here? And then it's just the mouse.
Yeah, so with this, you have everything. You know, you have the full set of things. And again, you know, this is marketed towards gamers, and we're all going to LAN parties and different events, and it has a carrying case, so I can just throw it in there. And it's, you know.
Yeah, that's nice, because, I mean, whenever you're going to LAN stuff, you worry about destroying your equipment.
Yeah,
so.
And the software is actually pretty cool, too. In the software, there's a calibration feature, so you can calibrate the mouse based on the type of surface you're on. So if I'm using a mouse pad, and they actually have different settings for different mouse pads. If it's cloth, if it's metal, if it's glass.
That's smart.
Yeah, because it's
not something I've ever seen.
It is an optical sensor, so they want to get the best tracking possible.
Okay, so it's not a laser.
Yeah, so it's not a laser. 6400 DPI optical sensor. It's a really good sensor. You know, I didn't have any issues with it. I played all different types of games with it. Of course, I'm using it on a mouse pad, so you really don't see that big of a difference. I did use it just on my desk, on a wooden desk, and I recalibrated in the software, and it worked just the same. I mean,
nice.
So
it either worked or there was no difference.
Yeah, so I didn't test it on glass. With an optical sensor, you're not gonna, it's not gonna track well on glass. You know, a laser sensor would, but again, the optical sensor, a lot of gamers actually prefer the optical sensor over laser sensor too. So it's all, you know, it's all about what you want. But for the first ROG product that's not a motherboard or a video card that I've checked out, I was really impressed. It has a little price premium on it. I think it's $70, if I remember correctly. But
that's not terrible, though.
Yeah, it's not terrible, but you'll see a lot of other gaming mice that are $50 that are pretty much the same design. But I feel Asus has put a lot in this. And again, with the extra switches and all of that, it expands the lifespan of the mouse, I feel.
Yeah, value added.
Yeah, so...
How is the... it's got, like, the rubber design, ROG design, by the thumb buttons.
Yeah, so there's rubber...
How's that feel?
On each side. It's great. It feels really good. The way I hold the mouse is, like, a claw style, so I have my thumb on that side, on the one side, and then I have my pinky on the other.
Okay.
And they hold onto those rubber, you know, that rubber grip quite well.
Does it help reduce fatigue and stuff, too, then?
Yeah, I played a... what's that game called? I can't think of it now. I played Team Fortress 2 for 3 hours using it, and it didn't get fatigued at all. It's just really comfortable, I feel. And it's just like, you look at the mouse, like if you look at pictures, you'd be like, oh, this mouse, you know, it's kind of just whatever. But actually, after using it, it's a really good mouse. And after actually, you know, researching it and learning about how it was designed and everything they put into it, it's totally worth the money, I feel. And again, you're going to get a lot out of this mouse because you do have the extra switches and you do have the extra mouse feet as well. So if anything wears out or breaks, you can easily replace it without having to buy anything.
Yeah. So would you recommend this mouse?
Totally.
Okay.
Totally. I would recommend it for pretty much all gaming types as well. If you're big into like MMO and you need a lot of buttons, this wouldn't be the mouse for you.
Right.
But it's more for like fast-paced type gaming, I feel, just the way it kind of has a lower profile design. So for fast-paced gaming, FPS, MOBA type things, where you're doing a lot of clicking, a lot of moving around. You know.
Cool.
Yeah. Definitely an awesome mouse. And then our last review of the week was some DDR4. We took a look at the Patriot Viper 4 DDR4 3000 16GB memory kit. And this is the highest speed DDR4 that we've ever taken a look at. Patriot's Viper series has been around for quite a long time. So this isn't anything, you know, different from that. It's just a great memory kit. It looks really good, although I do always give them crap about not making their PCBs different in color than green.
Yeah.
But once you have them installed, you're really not going to see that. And of course, the modules, they're designed as red and black. And
do they come in any other colors?
No.
Ah.
So, but red and black pretty much matches up. Of course, it's going to match up with Asus's ROG motherboards, MSI gaming motherboards, and pretty much any motherboard that has red or black on it, which is quite a lot these days. But the kit performed really well. Being that, you know, X99 is still pretty new, and getting memory to perform that high, you know, 3000 megahertz is quite high. I wasn't able to really overclock them much higher than that. It's kind of a hard thing to do, and you're really not going to get much more out of these. But they're going to run extremely fast.
Especially at that price range, I wouldn't expect it to run too much faster.
Yeah, so this kit is $319 for the 16-gig kit. They also offer a 32-gig kit. And if you're not looking for that high of speed, I think the speed ranges from 2400 megahertz all the way up to 3000. So it's a great all-around kit. Like I said, the Viper series from Patriot has been out for a very long time. The heat spreader is really thick and heavy, so you shouldn't have to worry about anything as far as temperature. And the heat spreaders aren't overly large as well, so clearance shouldn't really be an issue unless you have some insane CPU cooler. Which
it just shoots straight across the bottom of your board.
Yeah, so, and of course, if you got something like that, you would know about it anyways.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is just a good overall kit. It tested really well. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And like I said, as DDR4 matures, and as the X99 platform matures, we'll be seeing higher rated kits in, you know, tighter timings and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I feel like when Skylight comes out, DDR4 is going to come into its own probably then.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start seeing manufacturers develop a lot more options and timings, and really they're going to need kits across the board for the price range as well.
Yeah, so there's going to be, when Skylight comes out, you know, when it comes to DDR4, I think Skylight's going to it's a much more stable platform too, as far as memory goes. X99, and the thing is too, is with all of these kits and everything, it all depends on your motherboard too. You have a crappy motherboard, your memory is not going to overclock well. That's just kind of how it is.
In fact, some of these really high clocked kits might not even work out of the box.
Yeah, you really have to look. And then what's different about this kit is how it reaches 3,000 megahertz. It actually changes your motherboard, or I should totally know this.
The voltage?
No, it doesn't change the voltage. It changes your base clock. On X99, you have your clocks, which means that...
Yep.
I'm not sure if you're familiar, because you don't deal with the high-end desktop that much. But you can... A way to get a higher clock or a more effective overclock is they have a base clock, which is set at 100 megahertz. It can go to 125 and 160.
Mm-hmm.
So when you enable the XMP profile... It actually bumps your base clock from 100 to 125.
Okay.
So that effectively overclocks your CPU as well.
Yep.
We made the adjustment to turn our multiplier down. So we had
I was going to ask, does it automatically change your multiplier then? Or
no.
It just... Well, that... I don't know about that. I don't know if I like that then.
Yeah, it's kind of something you kind of... You know, XMP profiles made to be easy, so you can just enable it and just go. But to get this high of a frequency, you kind of need to do that.
Okay.
Because even a lot of motherboards don't have, in the BIOS, they don't have the setting for 3,000 megahertz. They just don't.
Too high.
Yeah, so to get that, it does this, which,
kind of work around it.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's easy enough to just go back in and turn your multiplier down.
Yep.
And you effectively fix the problem.
You just need to be aware. I guess.
Yeah. So I made that pretty clear in the review that's what that does. But yeah, it's a good kit. One that I definitely would recommend if you're looking at DDR4. You really can't, when it comes to all of these DDR4 kits, it's kind of, what it comes down to is the speed you want, the look you want, and that's basically it. Pretty much everybody across the board offers a lifetime warranty on their memory. So it comes down to the look, the size, and the speed.
Okay.
And they're pretty much, you know, some memory performs a little bit better than others, but, you know, that's when you get into the super high-end kits. But most DDR4 across the board is going to be relatively the same. It just comes down to, again, certain features. Some, you know, obviously some memory has lights on it or... you know, some
or plasma tubes.
Yeah, or like with some kits, they connect via USB so you can read the temperatures and different things. You know, just it's all depending on what you want, really.
What features you're looking
yeah.
for.
Yeah. So, but this is a great kit all around. So three pretty good reviews this week. All products that I really liked, which is good. It means these companies are making really good products here. So we'll move on. And the reason we only had three reviews this week is because we actually had two separate articles. One is one of the funniest articles we do each month. It's called the 20 of the Worst PC Setups. And what it is we go out and we find people who have just horrible PC setups. Just, you know, those times where you've been moving and you kind of had to set up your PC in a garage or on the floor or
you're just an unfortunate person
or you're just lazy and you don't clean up anything or you made a makeshift desk or something like that. That's what this post is about. We do it once a month, usually typically towards the end of the month. And this month we had some really great ones. I don't know which one is your favorite or the most disgusting, I feel.
I'm not sure. I'm actually This is the one I like to save for the podcast. I'm scrolling through right now.
Yeah.
Oh. The one, the bedroom one with the Canon box holding up the monitor, that one's pretty trashy.
Yeah. They're pretty bad.
Some people just don't clean. That's just
yeah,
a,
that's
like,
the thing,
it's,
too.
Like, this one's got a decent setup, but the guy's just got cups and cans and everything everywhere. Like, that's filthy.
Yeah. This kind of post shows how filthy some people can be, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but yeah, if you want to see some really bad setups and you want to laugh a little bit or feel better about your setup, definitely...
That's what it's best for, really.
Yeah, definitely check out the post. Again, we do it once a month. You can go back and see all of our old ones, too. We pick 20 of these really bad setups each month, and we go ahead and post them for all you guys to see. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And then we have our case mod this week. So each Friday on the site, we feature a case mod or build that's out in the community that's been completed. And we kind of just showcase it to kind of show what you can kind of, you know, PC modding is a huge part of the enthusiast community. It's a huge part of just the PC industry in general. So we love to feature these builds showing what people can do with their PC components. And this one is one that we've been following for a little bit now, and it just was completed not that long ago. It's called the Riddler, and it's themed after the Riddler from the Batman series. And I actually really like this.
This is one of my favorites right now.
Yeah, so one, I like it because he didn't use a typical case that we've seen a million mods on, right? So the 800Ds, the Parvum cases, those are the ones we've seen so many people do mods on. And he used the NZXT H440. I believe he used the Razer Edition, which we actually reviewed, that it was already has green accents, so he didn't have to change all of
which was smart on his part.
Yeah, he didn't have to change all that much. He did a full airbrushing of like Batman themed and Riddler themed airbrushing on the outside of the case. It's something you really don't see anymore.
No, airbrushing has kind
of
gone away.
Yeah, so a lot of people haven't done that. So I'm kind of, it's kind of cool to see that. This kind of reminds me of like an older time mod.
But with like the rigid tubing.
Yeah.
And all of the modern cable sleeving and everything.
Yeah, so he has obviously custom sleeve cables here. He has rigid tubing. I really like that one thing that you don't see as much, I feel, is that he contrasted all the connectors on the water cooling. So the coolant is the neon green and all of that, but the actual quick disconnects and all of the water cooling connectors are purple, and it really makes them stand
out.
Yeah,
the fittings.
Yeah, so it really makes the water cooling tubing stand out, I feel. That's something you don't really see. People would just use like black or the normal silver. He actually got them anodized purple.
It really makes it pop.
Yeah, it really makes them look good. Of course, he has a...
I think his color matching is, like, superb here, actually. I think that's really what brings it together. Because a lot of times when you do this, like, you're getting parts from different manufacturers, and so their purple isn't the same as this other purple. This green doesn't match that green. But his color matching is, like, pretty much spot on, I feel.
Yeah, it's really good. Obviously, custom water cooling loop. Both the video card and the CPU. Just an all-around great build. I really liked it. And one thing I liked about this guy is he took a lot of pictures. Sometimes when people complete a build, they take like 3 pictures. This guy took a lot of pictures of everything, kind of showcased all of his work. Again, really good. Really good
and
build.
His photography skills are really good too, so definitely check it out.
Yeah, definitely check it out. And again, we have a ton of these because we feature them each week, so you can go back and check out all of those. We have a full section on the site called Case Mod Friday, so you can check all of that out. Really good build. I liked it.
Yeah.
Let's roll into the news. And there is a ton of news this week. A lot of leaks this week. A lot of cool stuff. A lot of gaming stuff all over the place. So let's start it out with something you may have actually seen if you were trying to watch ESPN this past weekend. ESPN2 aired a Heroes of the Storm tournament on national TV. So this isn't the first time we've seen esports on national television as far as being broadcast. Was it League of Legends?
It might have been Dota 2.
I think it was Dota 2. It was Dota 2 or League of Legends was the their big tournament was broadcast on national television. So this was actually called Heroes of the Dorm. It's a big tournament going on. Heroes of the Storm is Blizzard's sort of MOBA, so it's their League of Legends or Dota. And they actually have their tournament, again, which is called Heroes of the Dorm, is for college students. And what's really great about this tournament is that if you win the tournament, they're paying for the rest of your tuition.
I thought that that was actually, like, an incredible prize.
Yeah, that is pretty something pretty cool. I'm assuming I had to deal with it as far as student loans and paying things back.
Yeah.
You hate Sally Mae and all of that. Yeah, so this was...
This is a huge... Yeah, for to be, a gamer, and, like, this is essentially a scholarship for a gamer.
Yeah, more or less.
And that's pretty much... That's incredible.
Yeah, so what was interesting about it is, you know, people were trying to watch NBA Finals, or not NBA Finals, NBA Playoffs and things like that.
Yeah.
And gaming was on TV. One, I think this is more getting this into a real sport. A lot of countries have declared... esports a real sport. While it doesn't take as the physical aspect of it, but mentally, and you have to be smart to play these games at such a high level, I feel.
It's all really, it's just semantics, and the fact that a lot of traditional sports players don't understand and can't play games, so they're just unaccepting.
Yeah.
But it's really just about the wording. I mean, they just don't want it called sport, but that's just too bad.
Yeah, and the thing is that all of these companies now are making deals with ESPN and certain things to broadcast because people watch. You'd be surprised that people do watch. You know, all of the big tournaments get more viewers than – I think the last big esports tournament got more viewers than the Super Bowl on Twitch. So, you know, people do watch these.
You're talking worldwide. It's like – it's almost like World Cup kind
of. Yeah, so it's really big viewership. Like that. A lot of people – on Twitter were freaking out because they were saying, this isn't a real sport, blah, blah, blah. And then other people were like, I don't know what's going on, but I can't stop watching because it's so entertaining. So you have that aspect of it as well. I think we're going to see more of this as things go on. Esports is massive right now. There's big tournaments all over the world. People have built professional arenas for this type of stuff. I mean,
it's actually kind of incredible.
Yeah, I mean... Coming from, you know, I kind of started when esports just first started to come out, first started to become bigger. And now that it's so big, you know, it is, it's crazy how large.
See it come full circle.
It kind of started to get big and then it went down with like 2008. You had all the economic crisis and all that. It drove a lot of people out of the industry and everything like that. And as things are getting better and things come back up, it's crazy to see how big it's got, even compared to last year. You know, you have $1 million tournaments now, and you have people
– serious money.
And you have gaming teams that's their job, and they're getting paid and all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely something that's cool. A lot of people have mixed feelings on it.
You don't like every sport in general either, so it's just too bad, you know?
Yeah.
So don't watch it right now.
But talking about esports, and again, this is something that's only going to help esports, I feel. A esports betting website has opened up. It's called Unicorn. It's made as to say unicorn. It's UNIKRN. And it's the first ever place where you can legally make bets on esports matches, which is kind of interesting, something that I've never seen before. Yeah. I know there's like, you know, behind the scenes you can bet on, you know, people do this, but this is I don't know, because
it's legit.
Yeah, it's legit.
It's not illegal.
You can make bets on. Really, they're starting out with League of Legends, but there'll be other games added to this.
So do you think we're going to be able to go to Vegas at CES next year and go to the sports betting areas and watch some League of Legends and put some money on it?
I mean, you probably could. I would do it just to say I did it, I feel.
Yeah.
That's something that you don't typically see. But it's something, again, as big as esports is getting, it's getting more views than, again, the Super Bowl and things like that. Why wouldn't you have a a marketplace where you can bet on it. I mean, it's
we bet on everything else. Yeah, we might as well bet on esports.
You know, the Mayweather fight tomorrow, you can bet on how many people actually get the pay-per-view. You know?
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, that's just what this is. It's starting in Australia, so it's not legal in America right now. They partnered with a company called Tabcorp, which is a Australian wagering company. So that's kind of how it's starting out. But we'll see this industry grow, I feel, because the money's there.
All it takes is one like this, and then it'll go.
Yeah, the viewership and the money is there. So it, you know, we'll just kind of see how it goes. But I assume that it's going to be a pretty big thing, and it's going to turn into another industry, I feel.
Awesome.
Yeah, so, and finally we have our last real piece of gaming news. Steam announced game bans, and what this allows them to do is that built into any game, developers have the way to track cheaters or see if you're cheating, anti-cheat systems. But now Steam is allowing these developers to submit people who have been cheating, and you are banned from that game. You cannot play it in Steam anymore. Which I feel is a good thing. Nobody likes cheaters. But the only real issue I see with this is if somebody's using mods in certain games, they'll accidentally get banned. You know,
that's what was going to be my point. It's kind of a mixed bag here because, like, I had problems with Battlefield 4, like, when it came out. I couldn't play, and I got banned, like, every other game because it was disconnecting.
Yes.
So, like, what am I going to get, you know, shut out of the game and lose my $60 for that, you know?
I don't know if it's – see, the thing is that I don't know if, like, it will allow for offline play. They didn't really – like, on their post, their post is exactly – it just says, well, this is what game bans are, and this is what they allow them to do. But it's not really specified if you're completely banned from the $60 game you're buying, you know? And the thing is, too, is that a lot of these games have a single-player mode or whatever.
Yeah. I don't think that you should lose the game, to be honest.
It hasn't been
single, at least single player.
Yeah, it hasn't been specified. But if it's based within Steam and they're just going to ban you from the game, I feel that it's just an overall ban.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Steam wants to have anything to do with the politics of it, so they're just going to do exactly what the developer wants.
Yeah.
Which is good for them. I mean, that's the only way they can do this. But I don't know if I just support them doing it at all in general. I kind of feel that this is something the developer should – that's their responsibility, you know? Block them out of your server.
Yeah.
You own the server.
Yeah, but I mean a lot of games too, there's hosted servers and there's not.
Right.
You know? So it's something that I like to see because nobody likes cheaters. But at the same time, I think it needs to be more understood of what the actual game ban – actually means. Does that mean I'm completely banned from ever playing the game again? Or how's that going to work? Or, you know, is there
an appeal?
Yeah.
There needs to be an appeal system.
Is there going to be an appeal system that I'm accidentally banned because I'm using a mod in a certain game or whatever? Or
say Punkbuster just messes up and kicks you out. Are you just banned?
Yeah.
You
know? Or like,
is there a number of offenses? This all needs to be outlined, I think.
Yeah. And the thing is too, is like if I'm a popular gamer and so many people hate me, they're going to all submit reports to saying that I'm cheating or something. And then I get banned.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Every single time anybody has a good game, it's you're cheating. And they could just be good. Do you know?
Yeah. So it's an interesting, thing. I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but it's a good thing. But again, it needs to be more outlined. I feel when these things come about, it's going to have to be addressed.
It's a good thing as long as it's implemented correctly.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll try to get to our next news post. We've had some pretty cool cases come out this week. The first one is from Deepcool. We actually saw the case on a system from CyberPower last week. But this week, Deepcool actually launched the case. We didn't know what it's going to be called, but it's being called the TriStellar. It is that case that has those three blades that you can install a system in. So now you can just buy the case outright from Deepcool, and you can build your own mini ITX system. Again, this case is really awesome, I feel. And it's totally different than any type of case that I've seen in a long time. It's great to see Deep Cool do this. It's great that the case is finally out, although I don't know when it's actually going to be completely available as when you can actually buy it yet. But it's definitely a very cool case. You can fit a Titan X in it.
Yeah, I noticed I think this one has, it's got one more expansion slot than the one we saw last time.
Yeah, so it has three expansion slots. Which
I think there was only two before, so that's good.
You could do a tri-slot card.
I don't know if there are. Are there tri-slot? There's quad, I know that.
I know there are some, not as much in the U.S. I think that Colorful used to have a tri-slot card.
Okay.
A couple companies will have.
Which explains why they would add it on this case.
Yeah, so, and then I think Galaxy or Galax used to have a tri-slot card too.
Okay.
But those are all the super high-end cards.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, you have that. But again, you only have one PCI Express riser in here. So you're right. Only going to be able to install one card anyways.
Right.
But yeah, it's a really cool case. I'm interested to. I'm trying to get one.
I want
to
see some mods.
I'm trying to. Somebody's working on one. I saw a picture somewhere.
Okay.
On Facebook or something. But also, we should be getting one of these into review eventually.
Nice.
So we'll have that for you guys. And then the second case is from NZXT, and it is, I don't know how you say that. That's their Noctis
sounds good.
Noctis 450. And this kind of brings NZXT back into the kind of more aggressive look, I feel. They've had a lot of more
square.
Yeah, more square and more stylish as far as like modern looking cases. This is a more aggressive case, although inside it follows the same type of design, I feel, almost the same as the H440 and all of that, which is a great internal design. NZXT has been one of those companies that really looks at what users want and puts it into the system.
Yeah, I think they're the first ones, honestly, that have done that.
Yeah, so
and then it started a trend because they sold a lot of cases because of that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of cool things inside this case. You have the SSD mounts on the power supply cover, and again, power supply cover is something that a lot of people actually made their own mods for, and the NZXT actually implemented into their case. And the SSD mounts on top of that, so you can more or less show off your SSD.
Yep.
You know, you have, there's a lot of really cool stuff in this case. I believe the case will retail at $139.99, available in both black and white.
This is a full tower.
Not sure. I think it's a mid tower, but it's mid-tower. A larger mid tower.
Right. It reminds me. I mean, it's similar in looks. It's kind of a blend between the Phantom and their more square cases.
Yeah. So it's kind of is a blend of the Phantom series and like the H440. For people who want that same internal design, but they want a more aggressive look, This is kind of it. But again, it still looks stylish. It's still sleek.
I think I'd like to do a build in it. Honestly, it's a good looking case.
Yeah. So we'll also be getting this into review in the upcoming weeks. I'm not sure what color they're sending us. I didn't really specify which one I wanted.
White.
Yeah.
Probably.
But yeah, good looking case. Stay tuned for our review in the next coming weeks of that.
Oh, does it come with? It looks like it comes with all four fans too. That's pretty good.
I don't know, because a lot of companies.
No. They usually don't.
Yeah, a lot of companies will have their PR photos with all the fans installed.
Okay.
I'm not specifically sure on that. Okay. I would assume you're going to get two, at least an intake and an exhaust.
Yeah.
But I don't know what else will come with it.
Seems like NZXT usually includes like a big fan in the front, so maybe they will do all three in the front just because they're smaller.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure.
That'd be cool.
But when we get into review, we'll definitely let you guys know. On that, what's next on our news? Oh, we have your favorite stuff. We have, so a couple weeks ago, Colorful showed off a prototype of their Skylake Z170-based motherboard. So this is effectively the chipset in the motherboards that will replace the Z97. So that's for all of
right.
the mainstream builds and all of that. And this is something that we're going to see coming up later this year. And what's kind of surprising, because Colorful one, we don't see them in the U.S. at all. Two is that they're still not as large as, say, Asus or Gigabyte. They are pretty large in China. But they actually had an event where they showed off three Z170-based motherboards that are pretty much all put together.
They look completed.
Yeah, they look pretty much completed. These will run the Skylake S processors that will be coming out later this year. This is the first time that we've seen real prototypes or more or less completed motherboards based on that. So, yeah, it was pretty cool to see. You know, it kind of gives us an idea of what we should expect from Skylake, you know, and the chipset and kind of what Colorful's going to be doing on their, you know, their next run of motherboards. They look really good.
Yeah, makes you wish it was coming to the U.S.
Yeah, so that's the sad thing about Colorful products is they're not available in the U.S. or even in the EU. I think it's only China. I'm not exactly sure. But, yeah, these are great-looking motherboards. But what this shows is, too, is that companies are ready. So if Colorful has these almost done, you would assume that Asus and Gigabyte do as well, probably MSI. That means at Computex, we're probably going to see a whole slew of new motherboards, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, it's going to be just Skylake.
Yeah, so we're going to see all new motherboards, I feel, at Computex. And a lot of companies are probably waiting towards then. I'm not exactly sure why Colorful had this event. Because typically a lot of this stuff is NDA'd through Intel. I don't know if it's because they're based in China that they don't have to abide by that.
They just don't care.
Yeah, I'm not.
We've seen similar things in the past.
Yeah, so I'm not exactly sure, but awesome to see this. Super excited for Skylake. Super excited for Z170 based motherboards. Yeah, so definitely. Definitely cool to see, and I'm really excited to see them see more motherboards at Computex. We'll move on to AMD, and AMD had a ton of leaks this week, mostly to do with their processors. Actually, May 6th is their Investors Day or Financial Analyst Day that's coming up, where they're going to have a call and talk about the upcoming year, and we assume these slides are part of that that have been leaked. Not exactly sure. I feel that AMD has just leaked these to kind of give them some hype. But the first leak of the week was that the AMD Zen CPU core block diagram was leaked. And that is the architecture and the CPU that all of their next generation CPUs and APUs will be based off of. And it gives you an idea of how the CPU is designed. So if you're kind of into that, I was kind of geeking out on it because it's kind of cool to see how they've changed and how, you know, they're moving away from certain things.
It's exciting for them that they're doing.
Yeah, it's
they're more in moving a little more Intel like.
Yeah, so it's moving pretty cool. You know how they're putting the CPU together and how they've changed certain things and all of that. And of course, this, the Zen architecture is, again, it's going to be what everything in 2016 is based off of. And one cool thing, which another slide was leaked. So the second slide was leaked was it shows the quad core design. So the way that these processors are going to be built is kind of in a quad core fashion. So you're going to have four Zen cores that are kind of grouped together in what they call a quad core unit, and that's going to be put on the CPU. You know, that's going to be the CPU. It's going to be a quad core unit. And for their higher end parts, they'll group two of these quad core units together, so you'd have an 8-core processor. And these are a little bit different from Intel because the only thing they share is an L3 cache. They don't share anything else. But it's kind of more moving Intel-like because this is how Intel does it. You know, Intel has their cores and then they have a shared cache as well. More efficient way to build parts. And the thing is, you can just disable certain cores. On the lower end parts as well, so you don't have to keep on, you know, make different parts per se.
Higher yields this way.
Yeah, so that is kind of how the design is going. And then finally, the big leak of the week was their 2015-2016 CPU roadmap was leaked, And this kind of gives us an idea of what AMD has in store for next year. All of their processors and their APUs will be built on 14 nanometer, which we assume means that they are going to be built by GlobalFoundries, possibly Samsung, but for the most part, probably GlobalFoundries. Yeah. And another cool thing is that on the desktop side of things, they are finally getting rid of the AM3 package. They'll be moving to FM3.
Which is something they've really needed.
Yeah, so a lot of, you know, it's just been a while. And you're going to have a new high-end desktop CPU codenamed Summit Ridge. It'll be an 8-core Zen design. So it will have two of those quad-core units that I just talked about. That's kind of the big thing a lot of people are kind of geeking out about, you know, actually having a AMD CPU that could possibly compete with Intel.
Yeah. Because
we haven't seen...
What do you think the speeds are going to be like with the new design?
I don't know yet. It's so early to tell. We just know the design, really. Speeds haven't been talked about at all.
Because AMD has been able to get higher clocks than Intel with their current chip.
Yeah, but they haven't been efficient.
I wonder with this new design. Yeah, they've just been fast as all.
Yeah, so the new design should be more efficient as well.
Hopefully they can keep the clocks up and then they'll actually be competitive.
Yeah, so it'd be cool to see. Again, we'll have to wait till 2016 to see a lot of this stuff. And a lot of people are saying too is that by 2016 Intel is going to be on 10 nanometer. So AMD won't catch up. We'll just kind of have to see how it goes, really.
Yeah. Just about a year behind all the time.
Yeah, so that is kind of what's going on with AMD this week. A lot of leaks, a lot of cool stuff to check out. So definitely go over to the site and see all of those posts, which again, they go into really good detail on everything that's happening with AMD and all the leaks and all of that. Moving on, we have some Microsoft news, which I'm actually pretty excited for this browser. So as many of you know, Microsoft had their new browser. They're totally getting rid of Internet Explorer, building a new browser from scratch. It was codenamed Project Spartan. They've actually made the name official. It's now called Microsoft Edge.
I think that was a good move. They were kind of killing the Halo theme.
Yeah, so and they released a video kind of showing some of the cool stuff. It looks pretty cool. I'm actually excited to try it out. And one cool thing that was listed about this is that it supports HTML and JavaScript extensions from the get-go. So that means extensions from Chrome and Firefox can be easily ported. And that means that you're going to have a good community of extension builders and people who use extensions and all of that from the get-go, which I feel is good. I feel that keeps a lot of things alive. If you have a community of users, you know, on your product, it keeps it alive and it keeps people using it, especially if they're building more features for it.
Yeah, it's like the Windows Phone, essentially. Like, it's a good idea, but there were very few apps for it when it came out, so it was really hard to make the move to it. So starting out with this kind of community available is a really good idea for this browser.
Yeah, in the video that they had, the browser looks really nice. And there's cool things that you'll be able to do. Obviously, Cortana, which is their mobile, or which is their assistant, their kind of digital assistant, is really built into the browser. And you have you can kind of group tabs together and do some other cool stuff that obviously wasn't available. Internet Explorer and a lot of other browsers. It's supposed to be really fast as well. It'd be definitely cool to see when Windows 10 launches to check this browser out and see kind of how it works.
Is it clear yet whether it's going to be just built into it or whether you can actually completely remove it?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Because that's the most annoying part of Internet Explorer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, you know, you just have to not use Internet Explorer and just get something else, whether it be Chrome or Firefox.
Yeah.
Cool to see that. It means we're getting closer. They've made an official name, which means we're getting closer to Windows 10 launch. Definitely something to look forward to in the summer.
Yep.
Moving on to NVIDIA. We have confirmed details on the GeForce GTX 980 Ti, which hopefully will be coming out soon. Not really sure.
I think we've got to wait for AMD to make a move first.
Yeah, so a lot of the things that we've been talking about have been rumors. According to this report, this is all confirmed. This is all confirmed to what it would be. So we've talked about some of the stuff before, but we're just saying now that it is confirmed. So we know that it's going to have half the memory, so it's going to have 6 gigabytes right. of VRAM. That is confirmed. It is going to be called the GTX 980 Ti. That's also confirmed. AMD partners will be allowed to use their own custom cooling solutions, which is awesome. So that is confirmed.
Yeah.
It will have 5 display outputs. So you have DisplayPort, HDMI, DVI, or 3 DisplayPort, HDMI, and DVI. Same thing that was on the Titan X. And one interesting thing is that many people think, this is the rumor, that it's going to be the exact same chip as that's on the Titan X.
The
full GM200. But what's interesting is that it is confirmed that it is the GM200-310. Now, the chip that's on the Titan X is the GM200-400. So they're different chips, not exactly sure what's different on them. So that it could easily just be something that the other chip is made to address more memory. But that is something that we don't know yet, how those chips are different.
I hope that it doesn't mean that it's not the same chip. I think the only way this is successful is if it's like the rumors have said that it's as fast or faster, just with less memory than the Titan X.
So we're not exactly sure what the difference between those two chips are. Obviously there's something different because it's a different name of the chip, but different part number. So those are all the confirmed things, and we can call them confirmed now. They were rumors for a couple weeks now. Everything is confirmed, which is kind of good to know. So we're just kind of waiting until it comes out, really.
Yep.
And then are we almost done with news? Yes, we have one more thing. Also talking about NVIDIA, we posted a little cool thing that will allow you to improve your graphics card performance. It should give you a 3-5% frame rate increase. While this isn't massive, it's not like you're going to get a massive performance. You know, a lot of people have a lower end system using an NVIDIA card, and this can kind of give you some of your game back, as far as if you can't play a game at certain settings, it will kind of help you out.
I think 3-5% is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. So the thing that actually kind of slows down your system is NVIDIA's what's it called?
NVStream.
Yeah, NVStream service, or the NVIDIA Streamer service. And what this is, it's actually built to, if you say you have the NVIDIA Shield console and you're streaming your game to that console, this is a service for it. Obviously, if you don't have that console, you don't need this to be running. We've showed you easily how to go in, go into your Windows services and disable it. It's set to run automatically when Windows starts, so you can obviously change that and have it disabled or not run at all. If you were doing the NVIDIA Shadow Play, this service is required to do that, but you can actually change it to manual startup if you want, so it's not always running, because you're obviously not using Shadow Play all of the time. Which is actually kind of interesting. NVIDIA sent us a little message saying that this only affects a small number of configurations, and they'll be rolling out a fix. So I assume within their drivers, they'll be rolling out something. But again, you can easily go in and change this if you want.
And they say a small number of configurations, and I just checked mine, and it's not installed on mine.
Yeah, so it all really depends, I feel, on on everything.
But it's worth it if you're on borderline not able to run a game. Like, check this out.
Yeah, because
this could be the difference.
Yeah, it could be difference in playing at different settings, or you have the ability to play a game. Or even if you're doing, say, like you have a home theater PC with an older graphics card in it, and it's kind of slow playing even certain movies or something like that.
Blu-rays,
or whatever. Yep. Check this out. This could give you better performance, for your system overall. Yeah, so definitely check it out.
It's definitely a good find.
Yeah, so we had that this week, and our news is done. I feel there's a lot of news this week.
Yeah, man, you got it done this week.
I mean, just in general, all the esports stuff, a ton of AMD stuff this week, new cases. It's like an actually exciting week. You know, a lot of times we go through the podcast and there's just some really boring things or things that aren't really exciting. I feel like there's a lot of exciting news, a lot of cool stuff, and not just, you know, for processors or anything. You know, it was all across the board. There was cool stuff this week.
For sure.
So moving into next week, we have some reviews that we know we'll hopefully have finished by next week. We didn't get to it last week. We talked about it. I didn't get to it because we had our other two articles this week. Is the Sith Ashura CPU cooler. Pretty interested to check this out. I actually have it in the system. I haven't gone through testing yet. But it is a single tower cooler. Going to be interesting to see how well it performs on our high-end processor.
Yeah.
But should be a good all-around CPU cooler. Pretty excited to check that out. I'm actually really excited to check out this product. It is the Asus Sabertooth Z97 Mark S. Z97 motherboards have been out for a while, but this is their special edition. So it has the white camouflage thermal armor on it. It looks awesome. You have to see it in person. It really looks cool. This is something that you could easily mod or easily add to a mod. Build a mod around. It's really cool. The back also has the armor on it. And it says limited edition on the back. It's really cool.
It looks awesome, honestly.
It's a really awesome board, and it has a full white PCB. I don't know if it's kind of hard to see in their photos.
Yeah, I see that.
But
though,
if you think of like the Galaxy or the Galaxy
this doesn't happen very often.
Hall of Fame cards, it's a completely white, all white PCB, something you never really see, especially on a motherboard. You have that with this board, so very cool. We will have a full review as well as a full video and all of that stuff about it.
That's great. Yeah.
So definitely a cool board.
I like those chokes too.
Yeah.
The little studs on top. That's sweet.
Yeah. Well, you don't really see that with the thermal armor on.
Right.
I actually took the thermal armor off to, I did like the video, you know, unboxing, and then, I showed the board with the thermal armor on, and then I took it off so you can kind of look at everything.
You take it all completely off? Nice.
It's just a bunch of screws, really. It's not that hard to take off. So yeah, you have all of that. Really excited to check that out, actually, to finish the review.
Yeah.
We have a case next week from Zalman. We have their Z11 Neo. This is their mid-tower case. We've kind of seen the same design from Zalman for a very long time. They haven't.
Yeah.
They're turning into, not turning, but they're kind of like Antec as well, where they don't really change much. You know, again, we talked about NZXT in this podcast about how they really listen to users and build it, and they built their cases like that. Zalman, they kind of just have kept the same designs for a long time and maybe changed something on the outside or whatever. It just hasn't been.
Kind of stuck in the early 2000s.
Yeah, so we'll see how this case does. Not you, Derek, but the other Derek has it, and he should be finished with it by the end of the weekend. So, yeah, again, it shouldn't be a bad case, I would say. It doesn't look from it like it's going to be a bad case. But if you're going to compare it to other cases, I feel that it's a little dated from looking at it. I personally have not looked at the case. You know, haven't reviewed it, but it's just from looking at everything.
Yep.
So there's that.
I'd agree.
And then finally, I have a really cool Bluetooth speaker system, which I've been testing for the past week. It's from a company called Fluence, and it's their FI30 performance Bluetooth speaker. And this is a larger size Bluetooth speaker. So I'm pretty sure you might be familiar with like the older speaker systems that had the iPod docks in them that are larger.
Yep.
This is kind of the same thing, but obviously
kind of a boombox.
Yeah, it's Bluetooth, so it's much bigger. This
right.
is something. It has a really nice, sleek design, piano black finish.
Yeah.
The one I have is piano black, but they also offer it in white, and they have a wood finish. It's a wood.
I like that bamboo almost.
Yeah, it's a the the actual enclosure is a wooden, it's a wooden enclosure. So obviously, if you know about audio, wooden enclosures typically is the best. Very large, it's not large, but it's obviously bigger than your typical Bluetooth speaker. It works really great. It sounds really good so far. It has really good bass. I like it a lot. It has a USB port on the back, so you can actually be charging your device while you're listening as well.
Oh, nice. So this is you obviously plug this in. This isn't lithium ion or anything.
Correct. You plug it in. You know, it's made to. I feel this is made to be more in a environment where you want technology and you want certain things, but you want that nice look of your living room or whatever it may be, right?
Yeah. You want your technology to really blend.
Yeah, so this is kind of like that. And again, it has great sound. Can easily fill up an entire large room. I really like it so far. That review will definitely be up on the site next week.
Looking forward to that.
I might have some other stuff. It all depends on what I get done next week. But yeah, that's what we have coming up. So obviously stay tuned for that. We've been doing this thing at the end of each podcast where we talk about something we did or decided to check out this week. For me, I finally got a Netflix account. It's been pretty interesting. So I typically was an Amazon guy, using their Prime service. Netflix is a little different to work with. I've used the web interface, and I also typically, past few days, I've been using the Netflix app on my Amazon Fire TV. Okay. And I do like it. There's a lot to choose from, I feel. It's a little different as far as like finding things and adding things. They make it like so with Amazon, you have your watch list. And with this, you do have it, but it's very hard to find, and it's very hard to add things. Like when you click on something, so I'll just say, like on Amazon, when you click on a show, it brings you into the show page and it shows you all the episodes and about the show and everything like that. On Amazon, if I click on a show, it just brings me in and brings up the episode and starts playing. That's one thing that I don't like about it. But I think Netflix is kind of the standard.
It's okay. I don't feel that like any of them really have great, like the movie services have great content.
Yeah, it has some content, like, but the funny thing is a lot of the content has already been on Amazon. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. I have Hulu Plus, Netflix, and Amazon Prime, and they all have the same thing pretty much. And when even if you're looking for like an older movie, a lot of times you just can't find it.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say. I mean, you're not gonna find the movies you want on cable necessarily either. So it's hard to say what you're even comparing it to necessarily.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my big thing was comparing it to Amazon. I think they both are really good. I haven't used it enough to really choose. The Amazon or the Netflix app works great. It's not slow at all. Haven't had any issues with it like that. But yeah, and there are a lot of things. One thing I did notice, same thing with Amazon, is that certain shows you can only watch certain seasons. You don't have the full run of the show or anything like that.
And there's certain shows that just aren't there. Actually, it's really there's certain networks that just aren't there. But...
Yeah, so like on Amazon, I have HBO. Everything on HBO you get, like their full back catalog is on Amazon, which is pretty cool. That's not on Netflix, I don't think. You know, certain things like that. But I feel like it's the standard for most people, I feel Netflix is. And it works really well, easy to use. And like I said, I've been watching a lot of different shows that I typically probably wouldn't watch because I do have Netflix now. So,
yeah. That's kind of what it is. It's either you wouldn't watch them because you couldn't, or you wouldn't watch them because your options are more limited now. I don't know what, for me, what it is.
Yeah. So have you checked out anything this week or done anything?
I got caught back up on Game of Thrones, but I mean, it's not that exciting. I think that most people probably have. I did not download all 5 episodes like some people. I'm waiting patiently for them to come out. but it's pretty good so far, but not too much.
What's crazy is I haven't really gotten into a show, so I think, like, Black Sails was the end of, like, because I was, like, super into Black Sails, and now I'm just, like, kind of like, eh, whatever. Like, I started watching Mad Men, and then I'm kind of just like, eh. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the times, too, is that I can't find a good show that's a half an hour long. Because, like, so I work from home, obviously. I'm running the site, and I don't like to take an hour for lunch because, like, if I'm making lunch or whatever, I want to eat and then get back to posting news or doing a review or whatever. So, like, yeah. An hour show is just too long for me. And yeah. I reserve those for nighttime or – and a lot of times I just go to bed. I haven't really been sitting in front of the TV that much. So it's kind of hard to get into a show, and all of the great shows usually are an hour long. It's very hard to find a good show that's a half an hour long. The only one that I'm watching right now is Silicon Valley.
Ah, you beat me to it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I have been watching that.
Silicon Valley's awesome. Did you watch it from the beginning now?
Okay. Yeah, it's one of my favorite shows right now.
I think it's casted perfectly. And a lot of the things are totally real. If you've been around that, obviously we live on the East Coast, but I mean, obviously we're around, you know, going to CES, and I was out in Silicon Valley last year for some motherboard stuff, and just seeing certain people and how they act, and it's very true to the startup thing, and a lot of the things are very funny and very true.
The references are just, like, great for us.
Yeah, so they're really, really cool, really good show. So all of those shows that you mentioned are definitely worth checking out. We'll list all of that stuff, as well as everything we talked about in this podcast, in our show notes page. Of course, you can download the podcast that way as well. The podcast is on iTunes as well. You can just type in Think Computers, all one word. It should show up easily for you to go ahead and subscribe that way. And again, guys, if you have any questions about the podcast, or you think we should change something, our style, you know, if you don't like one of us, if you want us to cover different things or whatever, just leave us a message. You can either hit us up on Facebook, or you can just comment on the show notes page. But yeah, I think that's basically it for this week. We did episode 10. Nice.
Episode 10
in the bag. So definitely make sure you check us out next week. We'll have another full podcast with all of the awesome tech news for the week. But until next time, I'll catch you guys later.